Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop. Who thought, collectively, we'd be so thankful for Thomas Tuchel today? Because God knows what else we'll be talking about. Of course, hired as the new coach of Bayern Munich. Look at this fancy presentation. Not put together quickly at all. It's the first time we've heard from Thomas Tuchel then about the appointment, of course, which shocked the world of football this week. This is what the former Chelsea coach had to say. The timing was surprising. I didn't expect it, and there was no contact beforehand. I assumed that I would continue my career abroad. The first interview was on Tuesday evening. The size of the challenge was the deciding factor that I wanted to do it. This is what Stevie's favourite man had to say about it. Sally Hamlet said, "We believed in Julian until 11 p.m. on Sunday." It's very exact. "In March of last year, we already had these inconsistent performances. Then again in September, and most recently, we only won 5 out of 10 Bundesliga games. We sat down on Monday and analysed everything. When the performance curve is pointing downwards, you have to react. It wasn't an easy decision. I know it's not a popular decision either." Oliver Kahn: "Sacking Nagelsmann was a very well thought out decision. It was a process and definitely not an emotional reaction. We could have taken the easy route and let it continue in hopes that we could finally see consistency." Finally, this is what Herbert Heine, the Bayern president, had to say: "When results aren't there, you have to look at the situation analytically. Leverkusen made us rethink. All three of us were of the opinion that we had to react in order not to jeopardise our goals. Thank God we still have a chance in all three competitions." For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Frank Leboeuf is here, Luis Garcia and Julian Laurent. More from the boys in a moment. But Ali, I've got to start with you. Of course, you've been covering the Bundesliga intensely here on ESPN throughout the season. Is this the right decision?
I think it is. And now, how they went about it, that's a different conversation. And I just don't think that this is a decision that is based upon the struggles against Bayer Leverkusen or the struggles since the start of the year. This goes back all the way, and I think, Shaka, you made reference to this in the show last night, to losing to Villarreal in Champions League. And now everybody, when that happened, and we were getting close to the beginning of the season this year, everybody said, we've turned the page. It's a fresh start. Well, you turn the page if you see that the team is improving, if you see evident signs that the team is better than what they were back then. And what we have seen from Bayern Munich is a lack of consistency. You see them in Champions League and you kind of go, man, this team is organized. Man, this team is good. Look at them, how much talent they have and how well they play together. But that's not what we have seen in Bundesliga, certainly lately, and we did not see that back in September, October. This dips in form for Bayern Munich are coming far too often. And what I think Bayern Munich is trying to do here is avoiding Villarreal, avoiding a dip in form that then forces this team to miss out on all the opportunities that they have in front of them. Now, how they go about it, I suppose is something that we can all analyze and we can all criticize. But had Julian Nagelsmann made this team better? I don't think so. And that's what he was there to do. He was supposed to make this team a better version of what they were before, and that wasn't the case.
Frank, what fascinates me going into the big game, obviously now on Saturday, which even takes more importance with regards to Bundesliga title, is the clash against Borussia Dortmund. How do the players react, given that Thomas Tuchel is, what, going to have a Friday with them, and that'll be pretty much it before that clash because of international break? How do you react as a player when you see all of this overall happen in your absence?
Well, it's the time for them maybe to get more responsibilities. And they say, well, you know, the excuse that we had before with the coach not being good enough for us, maybe good enough for Bayern Munich, is gone. And therefore, we have now to prove, you know, that we deserve to be on the field. And the coach, the new coach, cannot change anything. Anything for within 3 days, but it's our responsibility to show that that was the right decision from the club, and therefore I think they have to make sure that they do the job well and they react well, because the fans won't wait too much. That's what it is. And that's a complicated situation, but you have to face your responsibilities. Some players were criticizing Nagelsmann because of his made sometime behaviors, but sometimes also tactics. Now they don't have any excuses. It's them against the game, against Dortmund and against the fans. If they react well and they win, therefore it will be okay for them to carry on. Otherwise, you know, they will have to listen to the new coach and accept all criticism from the medias and the fans.
Luis, I thought what was interesting is a quote I saw before saying that he never lost the dressing room because he never really had them on board. These players weren't really all in on his plans. Have you been in that situation and have you kind of seen it fall apart so quickly?
It's true that I read in a few places that Nagelsmann couldn't get closer to the players. There was no much communication. There was no much talks in between them. That it was more about only a matter of work to be focused, to win at the weekend, but that's it. And I think that when that point arrives, you know that the message is not going to arrive in the best way. Now they're going to face a different situation. A manager that arrived to this point and that he left some of the class before, not in a good manner and not in a good position. It's true that with the player, it looks like he's got that bond that is needed to have a good relationship into the game. And it's true that it happens to every single player. When you've been on the game for quite a long time and you have so many different managers, you know that there are going to be points where the manager doesn't arrive to the player in the same way. But at the end, what you want is to play. What you want is to be focused on what you have to do every single game. Now, all the players have the chance. He's a new manager, so everybody's going to give 120% because the chances to play, they are open again. So I think Bayern Munich's got a big opportunity now to turn over, come back to what they were, and bring that consistency that they want. Because I think that it's a fantastic team. We've seen it. We've seen great games. But the lack of consistency, those ups and downs, I think that is what caused Nagelsmann's departure.
What's interesting, Jules, is that look at the Champions League record, 100%, of course. Lost Lewandowski, Mane comes in, gets injured. You lose that sort of spark in the team. But apparently it all came to a head on Sunday at 11 p.m. which is quite something when you think about it, Jules, that they all came together after that defeat against Leverkusen, where the players were shocking. You know, everybody agreed. Ali was talking about the fact how lazy some of the players were. Obviously, they pretty much down tools to Nagelsmann. Is that fair?
I don't know if they did, but certainly there were a lot of issues between him and his dressing room that go back to last season. The lack of communication that Luis just mentioned is completely true. And we should not forget how young he still is, Nagelsmann. And I think this is potentially a very difficult dressing room to manage, especially when you're so young. Maybe also got the wrong methods by not communicating enough, especially considering how young he is. He's very sure of himself too, tactically especially. He's very much like, you know, my voice is the voice. I don't really care what you players are saying because I know better than you. Kind of, this is that kind of guy, really. So you can understand the tensions if you add to that Manuel Neuer and the goalkeeping coach, for example. If you add the story about the mall and who gave to build newspaper, some of the tactical stuff that they did at training. If you add his own girlfriend, who was covering Bayern Munich for Bild, for the newspaper Bild, only a few weeks ago, really, which the players were very frustrated and I think upset by, because obviously the conflict of interest between Nagelsmann's girlfriend reporting on what he does as a manager for that club and knowing a lot of the things happening in that dressing room is not good. So if you on paper, maybe some people could say like, oh yeah, it's harsh. I think if you look deeper, you understand why they took that decision.
Can I just say, and I'm not going to delve into the girlfriend situation.
Where's Shaka?
Okay. But in terms of the perception of Julian Nagelsmann, you were outplayed in all facets of the game against Bayer Leverkusen. And now you're trailing Borussia Dortmund. We go into the international break, and he decides to go on a skiing trip. Now, overall, I would say going skiing is not the worst thing in the world. But maybe there's got to be some self-awareness and understanding.
Yes, but Ali, maybe you're playing this the wrong way. Maybe Oliver Kahn went, I'll tell you what, Julianne, why don't you go on a nice skiing trip for a couple of days? Well, go and clear your head and then come back refreshed.
Right.
He gets out of the country, make the call. Well, TT comes in, you're out, done.
Well, but there you go. Exactly. See, you just laid a plan by which you opened up a window of opportunity.
So we should just sit at his desk.
He sits at his desk and he hangs on to that desk and he never lets go. The perception.
You should cut the lines. You should cut the four lines at the band. Come on.
The perception. The perception is just not good. It's not the right message. It's not the right moment. You don't do these things in this sort of situation. And you're entitled to take a vacation if you so desire. This was not the moment to take a vacation. You got to hang on to that job. And I just think it's an... Look, it seems like a minor detail, but it's just things that add. And if you're looking for reasons to get rid of somebody, I think Julian Nagelsmann gave enough reasons.
King of vacations, Shaka.
I'd never go on ski vacations. Now you know why. Listen, for all the excuses you can throw for why Nagelsmann was sacked, it just feels a little bit rushed to me. It just feels put together. And the more I hear we discuss it, the more you read about it, the more it just feels like now all of a sudden the club are scrambling for an excuse that will stick. You don't think he's the right man. Explain why you gave him a 5-year contract 2 years ago and move forward from that. But then on the back of that, we've had every single excuse just kind of come. And it feels a little thrown together to me. My favorite is Oliver Kahn saying, couple nights, I didn't get a full night's sleep.
Oh, poor Oliver.
I thought that was great. Two nights, I only slept 7 hours. That's how bad tough a decision this was.
Well,
I mean, for me, listen, it's not working out. Explain why you thought it would, and you come up with what 20 odd million to sign him, and put him on a 5-year contract. Explain that why it untangled so quickly, and why you're moving on. Stop just throwing all kinds of stuff at it and seeing what sticks.
Right, let's talk Thomas Tuchel. Frank, I can't remember. Do you like him or not?
I do. I had some question marks when he was in Paris because it's always hard to rank a coach, you know, when he's in Paris, because it's always hard. And we can see that with Galtier, but we saw that with all coaches, you know, because how you can handle the dressing room is still a mystery at Paris Saint-Germain. But when he signed for Chelsea and before, what he was doing for Dortmund was very good. But that's the thing. The fairy tale for a coach has always an end, and there is always a bad thing. It's always something you do or you undo that makes you being fired. That's what it is for coaches and their lives. But overall, I think he's a good man. I had the chance to talk to him. He has a very good philosophy of life, of understanding players, the way he treats his players. So I guess he's going to work, and he knows the job. He's a top coach. It's what Bayern Munich needed. So maybe it's a good catch for Bayern Munich.
Jules, history has taught us over the years that you hate every former PSG coach.
Not this one.
Oh.
Maybe not as much as others, this one. I think he's an elite coach. I think the reasons why in the end he got sacked by PSG was he could not work with Leonardo, the sporting director at the time. Like Todd Boehly felt that he could not work with him at Chelsea, and that's why he was sacked. The players have always loved him pretty much everywhere. He's got that relationship with them. And he's a very different personality to Nagelsmann to start with. But I think tactically he's going to make this team certainly better, even if there's not much time to work with before Dortmund and before City and even before the Cup semi-final. I think he is capable of turning things around and improving things very quickly.
So what next for Julian Nagelsmann? Well, he was photoed as a youngster wearing a Spurs shirt. So we know what that means. He is odds on then to be the next Spurs manager coming in at 11-10 on Ryan Mason. Of course, we discussed in the past Pochettino to go back. Interesting, Luis Enrique is in the betting at 16-1. Luis, let's get you, Luis Garcia, let's get your perspective on this. If you have to choose between Nagelsmann and Luis Enrique, if you're Spurs, who are you going for?
Well, it's a friend of mine, so I will go straight away for Luis Enrique.
Why would you want to do that to your mate, Luis?
He used to be a friend of mine.
There you go. Now you're leaving.
I understand what you mean, but I think it's a great job to arrive there. Even though with everything that happened during all many years and stuff, I think it's a fantastic club. And Luis Enrique has got everything to be successful there. He's got that energy, he's got that attitude, he's ready to fight. I think he's got the experience to build something very unique there at Tottenham. So it could be a fantastic choice. It's been rumored also to that link Luis Enrique with Atletico Madrid, but right now Atletico Madrid is doing very well. So I'm expecting Simeone to stay another year at least at Atletico Madrid. And yeah, it could be. I mean, I understand that there is a lot of managers for the position, but definitely Luis Enrique is now doing a race cycling far away, focused on enjoying that moment. But definitely, I'm sure that he's going to be ready. He wanted, because I remember when he ended up his career in Barcelona as a player, he wanted to get ready, learn English. He went to Australia to learn English to get ready for the opportunity when he come from Premier League. So I would love to see that option happening, because definitely I think there is a top manager.
Despite a superior resume, obviously Nagelsmann is favourites ahead of the likes of Luis Enrique. Jules, is this an inevitability?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think to start, if you have to say from an Nagelsmann point of view, would you want to go back straight now, or even as early as the summer, so 1st of July, let's say, for pre-season in a club like Tottenham, with some good players in the squad, but a lot of things to do, a lot of rebuilding, a lot of work to be done there. I'm not sure. If you're Luis Enrique, maybe you are a very different stage to your career than Nagelsmann, for example. Could Nagelsmann also be in contention for bigger clubs? There are also rumours about maybe Real Madrid, for example, if Carlo Ancelotti leaves, to have Nagelsmann on the shortlist with others, of course, like Tuchel was potentially on that shortlist, but Nagelsmann could be as well. So certainly, if you're Nagelsmann, you don't take a decision right now. There's no need. Go back to your skiing trip to Austria, finish those holidays that you paid for, that you had to be cut short, and then take your decision. But there's no rush. But if you're Spurs, of course, you see and you think like, hey, this is maybe another candidate that we can add to the list and is worth interviewing for sure.
I wonder what we'll be discussing on the next edition of ESPN FC. You'll have to join us to find out. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
European qualifiers continued on Saturday. Spain in Malaga against Norway, and it would be Spain who'd win by 3-0. It was all about super sub Jose Lu, who would come on and score a brace within a minute to guarantee the 3 points for Spain. Luis Garcia is with us. Within that minute, you were trying to sort out all your technical issues, Luis. I can tell you, Jose Lu scored twice.
I missed the 2 goals.
You wanted that 90 minutes waiting for the goal. All right, but there you are. A job done in the end, Luis. And obviously, Jose Lu will steal all the headlines.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, he will get the headlines. I think he will deserve it. He's a very experienced player, playing for Espanyol. He's been in Premier League, Stoke City, played for Newcastle, back to Alaves. And this season is one of the top scorers here in La Liga, doing very well, a different style of player. And I think that De La Fuente, the manager of Spain at the moment, he kind of wanted to do something special, very unique in this first game. The game was very good. I think the first 45 minutes, they were fantastic. The ball moved quite quick. The intensity was right there. They scored the first goal by Olmo after a shot from Alves, the left back. And you can see that still the same philosophy of having the ball, the possession, being aggressive to when it comes to the pressure. But you can see some different details in the moment of transition back, try to defend. It was a little bit still more open. We've seen a little bit of vulnerabilities on the Spanish side, but it's the first game, so I guess it's about to continue working. We've seen a few names that Luis Enrique even thought about it when he made the squad for the World Cup. We've seen Iago Aspas starting today, a player who he was a lot of talks here in Spain that about if he was going ready to play, that he was one of the best players, Spanish players last year, this season exactly the same. So that's why he got the opportunity. Merino in the middle of the park, Balde, Nacho, a player who didn't even get into the top 23 for the squad, even though that he's been doing a great job for Real Madrid. So it's a big call for De La Fuente to get involved these players who were not even counting in that list in the previous squad. So good start. I think it's a good start. We all like to see Spain winning and starting well. And at the top of the competition at the moment of the table with Scotland, and that is the one they are going to be probably the ones to fight for those first and second position.
It was 1-0, wasn't it, when we were heading to the studio. Mm. Xhaka hanging behind on his secret emails.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden he shouts, "Oh, golazo!"
Uh-huh.
It was not a golazo.
From it was a goal.
Ali Moreno's
I was half right. It was a goal.
It was a goal. Get the asso. De La Fuente, what do you see different?
Well, first and foremost, the formation. It's a 4-2-3-1, and it's Rodri who takes the role of Sergio Busquets. But alongside him, you have Mikel Merino. And then in front of them, you have three players who can support in the attack, but also can help you defensively. So then you have the role of Gavi, who continues to be this high-energy player that, yes, it's going to help you in the attack, but it's also going to help you defend as well. Iago Aspas with a much more of a free role and in supporting directly Alvaro Morata. Dani Olmo will change sides. He has the flexibility to go on the right and go on the left. So you see this 4-2-3-1 that is far different from the 4-3-3 that we come to expect from Spain. Look, I think it's a good start, but 3-0 was not the story of this game. It did not feel like a 3-0 game. For the first 25, 30 minutes, yes, it was all Spain all the time. But then after that, once Norway decided that, you know what, we don't really have to respect this team because we're not threatened by their attacking talent. We're going to take the game into our attacking half, and we're going to force Spain to defend. Well, when they forced Spain to defend, they were unable to do so. You're having Kepa coming up with essentially a save with the top of his head and what was a really good volley at the back post. Sørloth has a real clear opportunity in the second half when he was still winning.
Jan's just shouting Haaland.
Huh?
Jan's just shouting.
Oh, well, yes. And there's no Erling Haaland, which is a point to be made as well. There was a sliding challenge by Rodri on Martin Odegaard that I think, even though Odegaard had already taken the shot, should have been and could have been a penalty kick that was not called. There's a handball on Nacho as well that I'm not quite sure as to why they don't look at it. So there were a lot of things here for Spain defensively. You got to go, okay, it was a good start, but we have to be better in our possession. We have to be cleaner. We have to avoid mistakes coming out of the back. You take the 3 points. You take the result. You take Joselu in his first cap, scoring 2 goals, and gives you a different option. Not quite sure as to why Alvaro Morata is the captain of this team. Again, I think that kind of tells you where the level of the attacking talent is for this team and the experience or lack thereof for this team is that Morata is your captain. I don't know that this is a long-term decision nor a long-term solution. And so, again, you take the positive, you take the start, But let's not get crazy.
Moving away from Ali's anti-Spain ways to IFAB's anti-goalkeeper ways, let's take a look at the law changes that are going to be implemented regarding penalty shootout etiquette. Goalkeepers cannot touch goalposts and net. We've seen Pickford do that quite a bit, haven't we, over the years. Goalkeepers cannot delay execution of a penalty. Emi Martinez, of course, doing that. Goalkeepers cannot unfairly distract the taker. I don't quite know what that means. And no behaviours that fail to show respect.
Boo.
This all feels a bit, I don't know, vague.
And it feels manufactured. Like, we're not happy with maybe Emi Martinez, maybe some other goalkeepers, so let's just make up some laws and pretend that we were addressing it. I'm not sure the purpose of half of them. Okay, don't delay taking a penalty, fine, whatever that's supposed to mean. But why aren't goalkeepers allowed to touch a crossbar?
Well, it's not allowed to move, is it? Puts people off.
Well, but it says don't touch a crossbar. Why can't you touch a net?
Because it makes it wobble.
Yes, that really is. That really has kind of kept the game back.
Yes, I know.
A lot of it just it just feels like it was a slow day for IFAB, and we thought let's make some laws here, and this is what they come up with. It makes no sense.
I can't believe that I'm going to take the side of the goalkeeper in this situation, but you've already sort of force the goalkeepers into this position in which they have to have a foot on the line sort of thing. You're taking some of that advantage the goalkeepers try to create for themselves away. Now you're going to limit the behavior and the emotional distasteful and disrespectful behavior that perhaps a goalkeeper may have when he makes a save. So now you can't celebrate. Now you manufacture what the celebration is going to have to be. You're legislating as to what the behavior is going to be. If you keep it within reason, and I think we all know where that line is, within reason, this is unnecessary. But all of this is unnecessary.
All this kind of falls under the umbrella of unsportsmanlike conduct. No. I mean, which is there. I mean, because a referee, and we'll use Emi Martinez as an example here, again, because the referee failed to address that as he should have, the laws were already there. He could have addressed it at the moment under the existing laws. This just feels, it just feels manufactured when there's absolutely no need. It's covered. It's all you are. Just tell the referees to apply it.
I tell you what it was. It was entertaining.
Well,
Emi Martinez was entertaining in the World Cup.
That was,
but we know where this is coming from.
Ah.
The French.
Oh,
Frank, what do you think? Are you happy with these rule changes?
I'm not happy at all because I first thought, you know, there may be, you know, what they want. They want goals and they want to make sure that the goalkeeper cannot move and cannot do anything to stop goals. It's the purpose of football, scoring goals. So they want to, stop or stand still the goalkeepers. But after I read that and I say, well, there is only one line that they cannot do anything about is to not distract the taker. Yeah, okay. So what do? You don't move, you know. I remember Peter Schmeichel, you know, doing that, you know, at least doing that, moving from the line. And I say, well, that's a good idea. You know, he tries to distract me, which is only fair. No, that doesn't work. It doesn't mean anything. I'm with the guys. I'm with Ali and Shaka. That's stupid thing to do. It's stupid new laws. It doesn't make anything. It's already hard for goalkeepers. So, you know, it's a mind game. So let it be that way. And make sure that, unlike Martinez, I would say, was doing some bad movements. people will stay in the right frame of mind and will do their jobs, you know, and football will still be beautiful.
Luis, what would Jersey Dudek do with all this?
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same. Spaghetti legs, we couldn't work at that at this time. I think it's a little bit crazy where we are going through. I mean, there is a point where they're going to say, no, the keepers cannot use their hands on penalties because that's the way that they are holding them.
It's the Shaka technique.
They cannot move. Yeah. they cannot move on the line. They cannot go forward. They cannot now touch the lines, the back. And I mean, next one, what is going to be? It's going to be in the corners. You cannot make signs to your made to make a set piece, a special set piece or something. At the end, I think that I understand the football is moving forward, that the football is changing, that all this technology we have to use in the favor of football, the fair football. But I think that we are kind of forgetting what is about this game. It's a game of the streets. It's a game about how to try to be creative, try to think ahead of the rest. And I think we are killing that part, that thing that we all enjoy. There is someone that is special, is doing something special in the game. We are becoming robots. And that's something that, of course, the ones that we play on a more free football, we enjoy the most.
Who's driving these changes, Jules?
I don't know. I guess they must have felt there was not enough boundaries for not to see what Dibu Martinez did in the final. I mean, or in the Copa America final, I'm not sure. Or in the Copa America tournament, I'm not so sure. Mike Maignan, the Milan and France goalkeeper, took it with a lot of irony today by saying, what's next? Next, the goalkeeper will have to turn their back to the penalty taker. And then if they save it, then it's an indirect free kick for the opposition team. It's true. Like, where do you stop then after that? It's a tough one. I agree with Shaka. Maybe it was a slow news there, and IFAB thought, hey, we have another stupid idea. Let's put it forward, and because there's only four countries voting, you know, he's going to pass. So hey, let's go. You know, they decide their own stuff.
Meanwhile, speaking of slow news days, Luis Garcia was in action.
Okay,
Liverpool legend. All right, against
good touch.
Quality touch. Look at the burst of acceleration.
Quality touch. He's still running.
Oh, hey. Wow.
Quality touch.
Beautiful, right?
Oh no. Bad touch.
Hands out. Apology.
Yeah.
And fall over the top.
Oh no. Straight out of bounds.
Oh yeah.
Here we go.
Oh no. All right, here we go.
This is the one.
All right.
Yes.
No.
All right, never mind.
Here we go.
No! Just forget that last one. Forget that last one, Luis.
Here we go.
You're all right. Put it behind you.
Okay. Get him off the field.
Here we go.
All right.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
Oh, oh, goodness.
No! No, he's injured.
Jeez.
He's injured. That's what happens when you start turning the ball over. Now all of a sudden you're injured.
Bring on Stevie Nicol.
It's
the
most invited.
I guess substitute for Stephen Nicholas. Good Lord.
Luis, what were your marks out of 10? You'll give yourself personally for that.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something that it's true that it hasn't been a good game. And at the end, I pulled my cap. So,
there you are, Luis.
The most important is for a great cause. And I have to thank you, the producer, that he's been clicking all my missed bars.
Yeah.
But
they weren't that hard to find. There's more questions for Luis about playing with Steven Gerrard in that tournament today on Extra Time. Be sure to check it out on YouTube.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Meanwhile, the front page of L'Équipe goes with the lucky charm captain in Mbappe's first game since the World Cup for France. First game as captain, and France defeat the Dutch by 4-0. Meanwhile, the Dutch paper go with like stomach ache. Oh. Obviously, the chicken curry. So, the reason why the Dutch lost 4-0. Do you want some exciting stats on it? Well, you're going to get it. France led 3-0 after 20 minutes and 47 seconds. Oh. That's the earliest 3-0 lead since 1953. Frank came on as a substitute in that game. The Dutch, earliest 3-0 deficit since 1990. Meanwhile, the Dutch second defeat by a 4-goal margin in the last 60 years. Last one was 4-0 to France in 2017. Let's get some French perspective then, shall we, on that victory with Frank and Jules. Hey, Jules, you've been a big old critic of Deschamps, but that was a good performance, wasn't it?
It was good. There was a lot of really, really good things, starting with the lineup. We said it's a new era with Mbappe as captain. The lineup was interesting, was young, with a lot of energy. I mean, I think tactically there's even more things they can do than what we saw against a very bad Dutch team coached by a bad manager, as we all know, the Dutch guy, of course. But there was a lot of positives. At times, this French team was a little bit unbalanced, maybe, and there was a few mistakes there and there, like the penalty given away right at the end, for example. But overall, it was a very good evening, of course. And when you start a new campaign like this, a new year, I guess, calendar year with a new captain, and he falls into play, every piece of the jigsaw at the moment look good, then it has to be very, very encouraging for sure. So well done to Deschamps and the players.
What were you happiest about, Frank?
Almost everything, you know, the spirit. I was thinking about the media, you know, they try to make up a story in a way, you know, with, you know, maybe disagreement at the best, but maybe a fight between Griezmann and Mbappe for the armband, and they're not going to get along anymore together. 2 minutes of the game, assist from Mbappe to Griezmann, they hug each other, end of a story, what can we talk about, you know? That was, for me, fantastic to see the players pattern from the first minute. I loved, you know what? I loved the third goal, the Mbappe goal, because Colomwani showed to the world that the guy thinks, anticipates before everybody. He didn't touch the ball because he saw Mbappe running, and he said, if I touch the ball, maybe Mbappe's offside. If I get the ball, maybe I don't give the opportunity to Mbappe to score the goal. I mean, that was fantastic. I fell in love in that moment with Colomwani. And after that, you know, yeah, 4-0. Perfect. I love the balance of the team. Yes, it's maybe a little bit inexperienced, but you play against the Dutch. You expect to have a hard game, and you make the game being very easy because you work hard from the first second. So, very positive evening for the national team.
Have the French media tracked down the man who poisoned the Dutch yet, Jules?
You know what? Even with these players, I don't think they would have been good enough. I think the tactics were wrong. I think Frankie de Jong not being there, and that was not part of the illness, really. I think without Frankie, this team is lacks so much, so many things, really. And when Memphis is in that kind of form on his own up front, not helped by the rest of the team, I think it's very difficult for them. So it was very good from the French. Kylian Mbappe, for his first game as captain, I think really wanted to lead by example. Frank is right. All week we talked about the armband and the decision by Deschamps and how Griezmann was feeling, which is right. He was upset. Of course he's upset because he really believed he could be the captain. It's totally understandable. But for Mbappe to have a performance like this, again, it's not just the 2 goals and the assist. And by the way, nobody has scored 38 goals. He's just turned 24. Nobody at his age has scored that many. And if you look at the others, they were way, way below at the age of 24 than what Kylian is on now. So for him as a captain to lead the team like that at the Stade de France, there was the tribute for Varane and Lloris and Matuidi and Mandanda, which was very emotional before the game too. So it was all very, very nice.
Frank?
Yeah, just one little thing, because you always want to have the last word, Zidane, and I won't let that go. You know, when you, in 1953, I wasn't substitute. I was in the first 11. I want to tell you that.
Full head of hair as well. What a moment that was.
That's a while back. Yeah.
That's what he used to like Real Madrid. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gam and Jules podcast will drop on Monday. Be sure to check that out. Now, of course, international football happening everywhere at the moment, including CONCACAF. Nations League would see the US men defeat Grenada by 7-1. Quite a few getting in on the goals. Let's just remind you who scored across the 90 minutes.
Okay.
Pepe with 2, Weston McKennie with 2, Pulisic with 1, Aronson with 1, and Danielas with 1 as well. Here's interim coach Anthony Hudson after the game.
A performance in a result like this can be a little bit, what's the word? Not misleading, but you don't want to get carried away.
It seemed like Christian really put his stamp on this match. Wondering if you could just comment on his leadership and his assertiveness in this match.
Stephen, if I'm honest, I'm amazed by Christian. I mean, I think I've said this a few times. You know, and without, you know, talking about previous experiences, but being involved in international soccer for quite some time, you know, when a cycle's over and you have the start of a new cycle, especially the one we've just had, where you have the high of a World Cup. And then you have games like these at a time of the season where players are fighting for, you know, relegation, Champions League, you know, real tense times in their clubs. It's very, very easy to turn around and look at the fixture, the schedule, and say, look, you know, with all due respect, I think the team can get away without me and win these games. So, and this happens all around the world with all sorts of international teams, and it's, you know, in the past, I've had experience with this in the past, you know. So the very fact that, you know, through this last cycle and leading up to this camp and then coming into camp, I just can't speak highly enough of the character of this person, who not only is he a talented player, but is someone that I can assure you, he just absolutely loves playing for his country. He's a great character, loves playing for his country, and is inspiring to the rest of the group. And I think you saw that in his performance tonight. I mean, I can't remember the amount of times he puts his body on the line, you know, for such a big player playing at a big club, you know, a huge value on him, and we go to places like this, and he has no problem just giving absolutely everything he has. So he is an inspiration for the rest of the group for sure.
Positive words then from Anthony Hudson about Christian Pulisic. US then sit top of the group on Monday. They take on El Salvador. Shaq, what do you think when you see 7-1 to the USA against Grenada?
I think that's about right. Grenada are one of the smaller Caribbean countries. Well, sitting that outside of Trinidad and Tobago and Jamaica, you'd expect the USA to be winning these games against every other Caribbean nation by a similar scoreline.
Does it come to a point where it isn't helpful for the US or indeed Grenada?
It's very helpful for Grenada. So my whole thing, and I've said this from the get-go about the CONCACAF Nations League, the biggest challenge for the smaller countries, and this goes for Nations League regardless of what confederation we're talking about, the biggest challenge for smaller nations is getting games, just meaningful minutes. So more times than not, before the Nations League, you just have Caribbean country playing against Caribbean country, and that wasn't good for either country's long-term development. You wanted to test yourself. You wanted to know how far you could go. And the Nations League at least forces the likes of the USA to play international games against other teams in their confederation. Because outside of that, the USA would just be looking for European opposition.
Is that then to a detriment to the USA's progression?
Well, I think the USA, as part of CONCACAF, plays a part in the development of CONCACAF nations, a part that I don't think they've really done a very good job of contributing towards. So while, right, playing against Grenada doesn't benefit them, it is a benefit to Grenada, and it forces the US, or it forces the rest of the CONCACAF nations to step up and to improve their game. And I think for the overall better of the confederation, that's where the benefit is. Now, I'm sure, as I said, the U.S. would far prefer going off and playing European opposition in a friendly. They feel that's, that would be better for them. But they have a responsibility to the Confederation that, as I said, I don't think they've done a very good job of recognizing.
What I think doesn't do for the United States is get a realistic picture of where the team is right now and is a realistic evaluation of the talent that you have available. The first answer by Anthony Hudson was essentially saying that look, the result itself and the game itself is misleading because it may paint a picture of where we are that is probably not true. 7-1 at the international level is a big, big scoreline, and it doesn't happen often because usually the differences between teams is not that big. Well, here it is quite significant. But then his second answer goes to essentially pay tribute to Christian Pulisic. So I understand that it was a good performance from Christian Pulisic, but which one is it? Are we allowed to evaluate the U.S. men's national team against Grenada, or are we not? Because Christian Pulisic did play against Grenada, and what it should tell you is that a guy and a player of the stature of Christian Pulisic playing for a big club at Chelsea should be able to play against Grenada and dominate the game because that's the level in which he has acquired, he has established himself, and therefore he is superior to whatever else is on the field. And so, while we can also recognize the fact that, you know what, he showed up and he played for his country, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. That is your responsibility. If you want to represent your country, it doesn't mean that you only represent your country at the World Cup. You represent your country and going to Grenada. That's also part of your responsibility. And the other thing I would say is, it's good for Christian Pulisic to get a game. And get a game in which he feels important, in which he feels he's the captain, he is the leader, he is the one carrying the weight of expectations, whatever those expectations may be. Because he's not getting that at Chelsea. Mm. He's barely getting on the field. And so I understand the positive spin and the positive attitude of Anthony Hudson towards what Christian Pulisic is doing. But what I'm saying is that this is actually good for Christian Pulisic. Him coming to play these games is important to him because he needs to feel like he's still the player that he thinks he is, whether that's against Grenada, El Salvador, or in a couple of weeks' time at Premier League, whenever he plays and whenever he gets on the field.
To that point, given what Anthony Hudson was saying about Christian Pulisic and the wider national team, about players who've been involved in Champions League and been involved in relegation battles, and I can only use my own experience as an example. I loved going back to represent my country. It was a welcome break from the pressures of relegation or the pressures of playing for a big club like Chelsea and not getting into the side.
That's the policies.
You welcome that opportunity to get back with the national team, to play with guys who you grew up playing with in many respects. And it helps you to refocus for the job at hand when you do go back to a club. So building on what Ali said, it was a lot that I don't think, while I understand you trying to praise Christian Pulisic for his contributions, it's not that unique.
A lot more reactions, some unique takes as always from Seven Herc. You can check their show out over on our YouTube channel. Football America is, of course, available on ESPN+. Plus, the latest will drop on Monday. April 5th, of course, the second leg of the Copa del Rey. Real Madrid going to turn up?
Well, they're going to turn up.
Barca, of course, 1-0 up going into that tie at the Camp Nou. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern here on Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's edition of the show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. We've got Frank and Luisa are back to answer your questions for extra time, of course. Shaka and Ali as well. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions. Ali Moreno is with us. We also welcome to the show Luis Garcia is here, as is Frank LaBeouf. But we've got to start with what's going on under the table.
Which you won't be able to see.
Don't worry, HR. Come on, Shaka. Get him out.
Oh, here we go.
Look at this.
Hello.
Look at them bad boys.
Are those tapping shoes?
Look at that, this bad is boys.
Ballroom dancing.
A little velvet on the top.
13
well.
Years I've worked with you, Shaq. I've never seen you with these sort of shoes.
It's like a patina.
You're too late for a midlife crisis. What is it?
I'm just very fashion forward, Dan.
Well, very forward. Out of the picture forward.
They're very shiny.
I can get you a pair if you like that. I'm not sure to do them in kid sizes.
What's the motivation here?
I'm.
Did you just give up?
I'm just. Hold on. Look at that.
Oh! Tapping shoes.
Oh, baby.
Look at ballroom dancing.
Look at velvet. Is that velvet? Oh, yeah.
Wow. Shaka, I have the same. Oh. Shaka, no, you have the same. You want a crash? Yes.
Yes.
You want me to bring in some?
I'm trying with these two, Frank. I'm trying. I am, but I'm failing miserably.
No culture, no style. You know, yeah. Venezuela and England. Yes. No style. Hey,
yeah. That's right. Hey. That's right.
Frank looks like he's just gone to a country club and they made him put a blazer on. What's going on there?
Why? Put your shoes up. Put your shoes up, Dad.
Well, my shoes are just scabbing.
Oh my god.
Some dancing shoes, Shaq.
Luis, obviously.
Oh, classy.
Looking handsome. Good.
Classy.
James Bond-esque. Classy.
But injured. Turtleneck for Luis Garcia.
There you go.
Classy.
Classic, but injured.
We learned during the show today. Luis playing Liverpool against Celtic, did his calf in. That was after a lot of very stray passes. How was it playing alongside Steven Gerrard at Anfield again today, Luis?
Well, I was there. Yeah, I played. I'm going to say that I played. I was there.
Sorry, being on the pitch.
Being on the pitch with Steven. No, it's always a pleasure. I think that these kind of games are great for us. Be back to Anfield, the atmosphere, always for a great cause for the Liverpool Foundation. They help a lot of people. And catch up with the legend as Steven Gerrard. We got the Kenny Dalglish, who got skirted to arrive to also for the game. Riera, Momo Sissoko, Fabio Aurelio, all the guys. I think it's just fantastic. And Stevie, you know, is always special. He played for the 90 minutes and he's still fit, still can run, still can smash the ball, and today score a goal from the penalty spot. So it was fantastic to catch up with the skipper.
And Maka was there as well. No way he lasted 90 minutes. He'd be in the bar after an hour, I reckon.
I have to tell you that I was surprised. After 20 minutes, he said, listen, yes. I can do my job.
He didn't think that was before the full-time whistle. That's for sure. Oh, nice one. We need to get Stevie over for one of them.
What do you want to do to Stevie?
Oh, goodness me.
I need to have a GoPro on his head.
It'll go like this.
There you go. Sally Hamner, Hamner.
Hamner, 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 Hamner.
I've noticed that Ali is saying Cologne instead of Cologne.
Okay.
Calling Bayern against Dortmund, De Classica, and talking about a vacation in Freiburg along the That is very strange.
Okay. Okay, first of all, that's it. Badisha Veinstra.
Yep.
What?
Who are you and what have you had done with Thanos Venezuela?
Classic.
Diversifying the profile, the portfolio.
You're going to Germany in the summer, yeah, on holiday.
Well, yeah, I actually am going to Germany, France, and Switzerland.
Oh, which are you more excited about going, Germany or France?
Oh.
I'm more excited to go to... I like it because it's going to be on the western side of Germany, eastern side of France. I'm going to be right there.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, on the Alsace region.
Oh. Ooh.
Yes.
What can you tell us about the Alsace region?
We don't have the answer. What does he prefer? To go to in Germany or to France?
We'll see once I go on the trip. I'm going to go to Strasbourg. I've been told that Strasbourg is really nice. Colmar, I'm going to be there as well. What is wrong with that?
Oh my God, you picked the right places.
See? You see?
No. Ali, I have to tell you guys, I lived 5 years in Strasbourg. Colmar is one of the most beautiful city in the world you're going to see, with the little, as we call the Venice. Mm-hmm. But give me a call, Ali. I will give you some good names for restaurants, for sure.
Oh, yeah. See?
You're going to enjoy.
Yeah. Frank said that to my mate who was going to Paris. Yeah. Gave him an Italian restaurant to go to.
Well, great.
Thank you very much. Hey, Luis, it's not...
Well, you know, your friend is either English or American. You know, I'm afraid to give him a French restaurant. I'm not sure he's going to like it.
Well,
so I go for, something more casual.
Just for the record.
Yes.
And officially, just to make sure that we're very clear.
Yes.
On that particular question. Vamos, Venezuela!
Oh, no. I'll tell you what. Hey.
Luis, none of these are Ibiza, are they? Let's be honest. You go Ibiza to all these...
Not to be honest.
No, exactly. Oh, quaint little town.
Not to be
honest. Nice beach, sea, lovely jubbly. Right, Ben Foster signs for Wrexham. Zlatan back for Sweden. Which member of the panel is best suited for an emergency call-up?
I know who's not.
We know Luis is.
I know who's not.
Luis has done his card. Frank, worry. Ali, you know, Ali.
What do you mean, no?
We know, you know.
Ali can go.
I'm ready.
Ali can go.
Yeah. I'll give you 20 minutes. Yeah. I'll give you a Steve McManaman sort of effort.
Do you think so? Yeah, no. Come on, you've got more effort than that.
Fine, I'll give you 30 minutes.
I'd love to see Robbo back, just because he would kick everyone.
A lot of anger in his life. A lot of
that
anger.
That would be good. I think we'd really catch up to them.
Exactly.
Starters.
I see. Don would be shooting the wrong
end. Alessandro can do well.
Nadum.
Right then.
I thought about it. Nadum.
That didn't last 20 minutes.
Hey, didn't you see me the last time with Venezuela? How I was moving so well?
My bicycle kick.
Well, it was more of a tricycle, but hey.
Okay. Well, this is a very personal question, but I think we're in an okay position to ask it. Frank. I'm worried that I'm starting to lose my hair. Any advice from the man who made it fashionable to be bald in France?
Well, you know, it's funny that I was part of a documentary last week about bald people. That was a very serious matter and serious debate, you know. Well, you know what? When you start, you know, losing somehow, you know, your hair, shave it. Shave it, you know, no question. Don't try to survive, it doesn't work. You know, just shave it. If you have a good, how do you call that? A good shape,
yes.
That's gonna be okay.
It's okay.
That's gonna be fine. No, that's better. That's the least worst, you know, because we have no choice. So let's go for it. Let's go for Robbo, myself.
Yes.
And some others, you know, we tried to fight, it didn't work, and we merch up here like that. So Frank, that's good.
Tell us more about this documentary.
No, that's funny. They called me 2 months ago and they say, you know, we are making a documentary to express, you know, because we realized that psychologically it's been hard for many people starting to be bald very young. And it's no man, we don't have the tendency to express ourselves when we have some issues. And that is true that I was 21 when I started to lose my hair, and I wasn't that happy about it, but I never said anything to anybody. So
So, and they called me and they said, do you want to talk about this? I said, okay, that's going to be fun. And it's funny that some friends we lost here as well. I've been part of the show, the documentary, and we share the same thing without talking because nobody wants to talk about it because you guys, okay, you lose your hair. What the point? You know, don't talk about it. But it's psychologically when you're 20 years old, you start your career and you start losing your hair and you look like more 30 than 20. That's an issue. I can tell you that's an issue.
So you did the documentary for free, Frank?
Yes,
wow.
Yes, for the
wow.
sake of bald people, for the union of bald people.
Wow.
That's the first time and the last time.
We know Frank does nothing for free.
Really close friends.
Now, if you don't follow Luis...
And that's true. And that's true.
If you don't follow Luis on Instagram, this person obviously does, he posts his impressive workouts on social media. Oh, beautiful back garden in Madrid, swimming pool in the background, Luis working it. Oh, it's very... Very.
Hello. Hey, those legs need a beach.
That's how he put his hamstring.
Hey, the legs need a beach.
Very, very impressive.
All that to pull a calf muscle.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it didn't work. It didn't work.
All that to last less than Steve McManaman.
So it didn't work. Hey, honestly, hey, we need to take those legs out to the beach,
Luis. That's how he got injured.
How do the guys' workouts compare to his? Who is the most fit? So Robbo has a rowing machine, doesn't he, in his garage?
Uh-huh. Robbo's got all kinds of machines.
Yeah, I think his rowing machine is like his main toy, and he just angrily rows for like 20 minutes.
Uh-huh. Robbo like, angrily
yes, exactly.
Does everything.
Goes through life.
Craig, when he's in the gym, puts a towel over the CrossFit.
The screen, so he has no idea.
And just stares at the towel.
Uh-huh.
Shaka, you're quite relaxed, I would say, when I've seen you in the gym.
In the gym,
it's
everywhere.
There's quite a lot of intensity to your workout.
I just make it look that way, Dad.
Well, it's just a lot of back.
I just make it look
backing
that
on
way,
the treadmill.
Dad.
Frank obviously has got a poncho on for showing himself topless in the gym.
Oh, yes, that's yeah.
We see a lot of that, don't we? Ali, your workout regime?
Voila. I play. I go and train with my son's team.
Yes.
Yeah. When I survive.
Huh? Whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
He goes and kicks the kids.
I know. I know.
Toughen up, kid.
There's a lot of talking.
Yes. Yeah, I bet.
Usually from me.
Yep. And Stevie has an exercise bike in his basement, which he uses to hang clothes on and such like.
Yeah. You are a little Robbo sometimes. I see you as being a little Robbo when you're playing. A little angry.
Yes.
Well, Shaq, I have a lot of anger in me. And has to come out somewhere.
All right, right.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to bring it home.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't serve a purpose. So leave it out on the field.
All right, okay.
Frank, is
what about your workout, Dad? How about yours? How's
I'm
yours?
Only little. I've got to be careful. I don't want to get too snacked. I can't do too much. Because then everything's out of proportion. You know, we've got to be very careful with the guns.
The water pistols.
Otherwise.
I've heard it all.
I'm only little.
I've heard it all now.
I'm the presenter. I don't want to kind of outshine the former athletes.
I don't want the broad shoulders. You know,
I'll consider it.
Exactly.
I'm very considerate.
It's the continuous criticism, Frank. Let's get back to soccer. For crying out loud, it's a soccer show. PSG's failure in the Champions League justify, in chronological order, Frank. They went out to Madrid, Manchester United, Bayern, City, Madrid, then Bayern. Apart from United, all of those teams have better squads than PSG. Man City lose to average teams, but get far less heat.
So what is the question?
Is the criticism fair? Is it justified of PSG and their failings in the Champions League considering the opposition?
Oh, it's not about the opposition. It's about how they lost and the way they behaved around those eliminations. That's what it is. You can lose. You have the right to lose if you give everything. And that day it was maybe a bad day, unlucky day. But it's not that case. You know, when they have the remontada against Barcelona, when they won 4-0 at home, It's because they don't play as a team. It's because they drop too much, because they don't listen to the coach, because they lost, and they suddenly they explode, and that's not fair. Last year against Real Madrid, they have everything in their hands, and they make sure they make a big mistakes. Donnarumma first to lose the game. So it's all about their behaviors. For I would say overall, which expresses the anger of the fans or the anger of the media or the criticism of the pundits. That's what it is, more than the opposition.
For Luis, when you went to play for Liverpool, did you have challenges adjusting to the culture, weather and food? Did you already speak English, and how do English clubs help foreign players learn the language?
Yeah, great question. Actually, yeah, we of course you struggle with the weather, with the standard of life. You are used to, and you don't know very well in Spain. You go for lunch maybe at 2 or 3 over there. The restaurants are already closed at 1:30, and at night exactly the same at 4:30. The stores close, so there's no opportunity to go for a walk or something. So you need to adapt the style of life to what it is. It's true that you focus a lot on football. The weather push you a little bit inside your house, so kind of you have to adapt very quick. Football, of course, is different. Premier League is faster and more exciting, probably, when you see that contact physically, you have to get better. And because of the language, the barrier of the language, it was one of the toughest ones, because it's true that I didn't speak English when I arrived to England. Also in Liverpool, this special accent, so it took me a while more to kind of understand everybody. And the clubs at that time helped us with the teachers. We had teachers 3 times a week for 1 hour around. And then that teacher used to come with us for quite a few periods during maybe 6 months, so he used to come with you to make the. If you have to go to buy to the store, it will help you to go there. You go to buy some clothes. It will go to with you and will help you into that matter to learn a lot more vocabulary. And at the end, it's about trying to adapt a little bit, but it's true that it's not easy. Also, Rafa Benitez kind of implemented that you couldn't have lunch in there when we were at the training ground with 2 guys that were from the same country. So I couldn't eat, for example, with Xavi Alonso and Antonio Nudet on the same table. He wanted us to speak English in all around the available side.
Like an intercambio at lunch. So you, that's interesting.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Did you just drop intercambio?
Well, yes, because they tried to force me to do that.
Based on the video that we saw today from Luis,
yes,
he still hasn't adjusted.
Oh, wow. Oh,
come on. Just saying.
That's a tackle from behind. That's a tackle from behind. You know, striker. They don't know to tackle.
I can't say anything, but it's a footage and we've seen it. So
that's it's when Luis gets out his Champions League winning medal.
Fine. You win, Luis. You win. You win.
Never.
Okay, final piece of a question. What has been everyone's worst piece of punditry? For example, Dan said Harry Kane was a one-year wonder. Sticking to it. And Frank had Canada and Denmark in the World Cup semi-final.
And I had Real Madrid, you know, very bad as well.
Yes, so. Yeah, that's very true. So. Yeah, they made a documentary on that as well. Bald people, Real Madrid people, you're everywhere. Shaka, obviously, after the World Cup, your worst punditry has to be changing your mind, isn't it? When Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, I do that all the time.
You ditched them.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
No, it wasn't.
What's your worst bit of punditry?
Far worse than that, I'm sure.
What about the time that you had to commentate Trinidad and Tobago and you refused to talk in the second half?
Yeah, that was tough. I've never done a Trinidad Tobago game since.
You got grumpy.
I was angry. The producer kept going, "May I say something?" I'm like, "No, I've got nothing to say. I've got nothing to say." I was angry on air.
Worst piece of punditry, Annie?
Whenever Lukaku and Morata when there was the option as to who should go, who should Chelsea go after?
Yes,
I don't remember, but I may have said Morata.
Yeah,
and if that's the case, my bad.
Yeah,
Well, it's not like Lukaku has been great either, but no. But comparatively speaking.
Yes, yeah. Luis, anything stick to mind?
Every, I got one, big one, and every single time that Real Madrid plays and I bet against them, you know that I'm doing away things.
Yes.
But the big one this season,
you see,
is
I'm not the only
Eddie
one.
Haaland, I wasn't expecting.
Yes, yeah. You're the person who Jan always says. You're the one that Jan always says. People doubting Haaland in the Premier League. He's going to put your picture to it now. That is it. Oh, fantastic.
Well done.
That's all right. He hasn't done much.
One season wonder. Another one season
that's
wonder.
That's all right. That's all right. Do you want to last show your shoes?
Please.
Where, are you going somewhere tonight?
No.
Hello. It's dancing shoes. Those are dancing shoes, Shaq.
They obviously have the camera down there.
Yeah, but the leg of the table.
Hey, that's some long legs, Shaq.
Now we have to faff and wait for them to get the camera.
Right. Oh, hey, look at that.
Hey, I bought the socks. Ooh. Come for the shoes, stay for the socks.
Oh, man.
Hello.
Oh, the socks.
Socks got some little flowers on them.
Oh,
see, but then I got little flowers in my...
In your... Yeah.
Pocket square thingy, my Bobby. Well, I can't see them both, but I'm just showing that
Shaq.
I match.
Really?
It's a night out tonight, Shaq.
Wow. Where are you going tonight?
Yeah, where are we going, Shaq?
Straight home.
Oh. Wow. Okay. We can go somewhere after. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank
it's
you
my
very
clothes.
Much.
This is my home clothes.
You're off tomorrow, both of you.
I am. Yeah.
Off. Lovely. Very good.
I might go up now.
Sounds like you are.
Get to the shoe shine.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.